Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read, quote, "The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." The Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity and is himself God Almighty. As Christians, it is our incredible privilege to know who the Holy Spirit is and to be led by him. Let's open our Bible now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we might truly learn who the Holy Spirit is as well as his purpose in our lives.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Sunday morning here in Texas and Steve and I are here in the studio, and it's just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus, to be spending time in the scriptures. Hopefully you're spending time this year, increasingly spending more and more time with Jesus, spending time in the scripture, spending time reading your Bible, spending time in prayer. In earnest praise and thanksgiving to the Lord, spending time in introspection, really, really evaluating your thought processes, your mental and emotional thought processes, how you think about things and working through things, you know, just spending time in self-examination, spending time in joyful repentance. And in as much, we're going to grow to know Jesus better. We'll grow to know his love for us better. And, you know, we will grow to know him. And the more we grow to know him, the more we really will grow to not only to love him, but we'll grow to like him. Again, I've said this before. Jesus is just the coolest, you know, individual ever. When you start to get to know him better and better, you just want him to be a part of everything. One of the great hindrances in the church today is actually religion, or a religious spirit that looks at everything as just dry religion, where there is just a remarkable relationship and intimacy available to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. So thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so we are in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I was thinking to get through verses 10 to 16, but I don't know if I'll get through it all. Again, you would think that wouldn't be too hard. And, you know, I always study and prepare, you know, for these teachings at you know, just at different levels depending on the teaching. But there's, you know, you can study the scriptures and you can just continue to do research and study and study and study. And it really is endless, right? You could actually do easily a 30-minute teaching on one verse. And so so far, this book seems to be taking more teachings, but just in verses 10 to 13 and dealing with the Holy Spirit, there is just so much here. So, again, we'll see how far we get. Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you, Lord, for this Bible. We thank you for the scriptures, Father. We thank you that we have this Bible, Father. We thank you for your mercy and favor and goodness on our lives, Father. We thank you for your love. Father, above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on our behalf that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. We ask for eyes that see, ears that hear, hearts that understand, and hearts that truly understand who you are today, Holy Spirit, as we study these scriptures about you, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so deep stuff here, okay? And we're going to be really dealing with, in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, the person of the Holy Spirit. I did say person of the Holy Spirit. And the work of the Holy Spirit. Of the three members of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, in the body of Christ at large today, the Holy Spirit is certainly the one that's given the least attention, okay? The Holy Spirit is the one, regrettably, that's seemingly ignored, and yet it is the person of the Holy Spirit that is the one in our lives as Christians, not only leading us to Christ, but drawing us into deeper fellowship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ our Lord. I'll reread verse 9, and then I'll start in verse 10. Paul says, "However, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him." Verse 10, "But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." Verse 11, "For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words." Okay, so again, these verses are immensely full. Just again, as I was preparing for this teaching, I don't know of an area that really needs more attention. Okay, the church often gives immense attention to the Father, tremendous attention to the Son, but often little attention to the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit, right? Many of us were brought up thinking the Trinity was Father, Son, Holy Bible, right? And of course, the Word of God is essential. The Bible is essential, but it is actually Father, Son, Holy Spirit, okay? Again, one God, as you've heard me say countless times, three distinct individual persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. As you study the scriptures, and scholars have maintained this for 2,000 years, orthodox theology, or just sound biblical theology that has withstood the test of time, that all reasonable theologians really agree on, is that God the Father, God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit are one God, but they're three distinct, equal individual persons, each in their personhood, full-blown God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, again, Almighty God, the Father, Almighty God, the Son, Jesus, and Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. Theologians have taught us over the years that the Holy Spirit actually proceeds from the unity of the Father and the Son. And in that unity of the Father and the Son, and the love between the Father, God the Father, and God the Son, Jesus, is so incalculable, so immense, that unity and that love, out of that proceeds the person of God, the Holy Spirit, who is equal in his standing as God with God the Son Jesus and with God the Father. I mean, you gotta about take a breath, right? After listening to all that. You ought to rewind the tape, okay, to after the introduction or something, and just listen to those few minutes again so you can get that deep down, that theological, biblical understanding down of who the Holy Spirit is. Few people have a working knowledge of that theology that I just spoke. And again, all of this has come as I've studied over the years, but I've really been, you know, I actually studied even a little extra for this teaching. And again, we should study it a little extra and a little extra and a little extra as teachers of the Word of God. You know, I remember that it was said of I believe it was of G. Campbell Morgan, the father, some say, of biblical exposition. And that's what we do here when we're teaching verse by verse. But it would say, I believe it was said of him, I think it was of him, that when he was studying and preparing to teach the Word of God, he would actually tremble with fear that he would not teach it inaccurately. That he was afraid and concerned about teaching anything that's not true and is not a proper understanding of the scriptures. That is something that all of us who teach the Word of God, ought to aspire to. And I don't know any, and I myself, you know, do not have that level of just love and concern. But I would like to, again, that when we teach the scriptures, we come with an attitude that this is the living Word of God and that we ought to desperately fear that we would teach something wrong. Help us, Holy Spirit. All right. Verse 10, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. What is Paul talking about here in verse 10? He says in 9, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So as we talked about last time, this is not talking about revelation that we're going to get in heaven, okay, as this verse is often misinterpreted. But no, this is talking about what the Holy Spirit is revealing to us now, beginning with the understanding of salvation, beginning with the understanding of our Heavenly Father's grace given us, right? It's a free gift, salvation, deliverance from hell and going to heaven when we die. The Spirit of God, we cannot without him understand this free gift of salvation that by faith, having trust and reliance, faith in what Jesus Christ has done for us at the cross and living for us and dying for us, and then faith in his resurrection from the dead, we will receive eternal life, spiritual life, be forgiven of our sin, come into relationship with each member of the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, be delivered from an eternity in hell, and ultimately go to heaven when we die. We cannot do that without the Holy Spirit, okay? It's a work, okay? The Spirit of God always comes alongside the Word of God. We can't do it without the Word of God. We can't do it without the Spirit of God. The Word of God I just spoke to you was the Word of the Gospel, okay? The Gospel, the good news, is the Word of God. It's in the Scriptures, as well as the rest of the Bible. But without the Spirit of God coming alongside of us and opening our hearts and opening our minds and helping us make sense of it, we could not understand it and could not be saved. But from there, the more we grow in Christ, the more the deep, incredible treasures and riches of who our Heavenly Father is and who Jesus is can be revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, no eye has seen. Verse 9, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. Again, as we're able to grasp it and understand it, the deeper things will be revealed to us. You know, Stephen and I were bickering this morning, forgive us, Lord, and we were discussing how as we grow in Christ, we can understand these deeper things, and deeper things can be revealed to us. Paul, in the first verse of chapter 3, is going to talk about how he had the wisdom to know that the Corinthians could not understand deeper spiritual truths, the deepest spiritual truths. They still needed milk, not solid food. And until we grow in Christ, we cannot understand these deeper things. But as we grow, the Holy Spirit, it is the Holy Spirit who is able to reveal these things to us as we grow and mature and are able to understand them and bear them and carry the deeper levels of revelation and understanding. It's exciting, isn't it? Golly. The Spirit searches all things, verse 10, even the deep things of God. And this means God the Father and God the Son, Jesus, okay? So the Holy Spirit, okay, because look at verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? You cannot know what someone else is thinking, okay? I cannot know what Stephen is thinking. I'm alone in the studio. Stephen is outside the studio. I'm the only one in here. He's got this big table out there. He's got multiple laptops open. He's got headgear on. He's got all kinds of stuff going out there. But I cannot know what's going on in his mind. I might be able to guess, right? If you're looking at a person and you can see their expression, you maybe can guess as to what's going on in their mind. But you certainly cannot know it unless they tell you. Look at verse 11. For who among men, meaning men and women, knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Verse 11, in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Again, this is a profound verse. So again, as the Holy Spirit proceeds and is a person out of the unity and love of God the Father and the Son, it's the Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit, that knows the thoughts of the Father, the thoughts of the Son, Jesus, and it's his job, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who actually lives in us, okay? Again, it's just profound, y'all, okay? It's the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that lives in us, that's one with us. Our spirit is one with the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit joined himself to our spirit, we came into life. An explosion of life happened. Our spirit was dead. We were physically alive. When the Holy Spirit joined himself to our spirit, we became spiritually alive. We had a spiritual birth, right? And now the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, desires to reveal to us more and more and more of the depth and the riches and the knowledge and insight of the thoughts of our Heavenly Father and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, verse 11, for who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? Okay, so again, you can't know what anyone else is thinking unless they tell you. Okay, you can guess, but by no means can you know. And Paul's contrasting this with your spirit, little s, with the Spirit of God, which is the Spirit of our Heavenly Father and Jesus, capital S. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Golly. Verse 12, we have not received the Spirit, little s, verse 12, of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given us. Again, beginning at salvation. Okay? So what does he mean? We have not received the spirit of the world. Okay? As Christians, okay, again, when you were saved, it was the Holy Spirit, first of all, that revealed to you the truth of what God has freely given us, freely given. First, the gift of salvation by faith in Jesus Christ alone. We have not received the spirit of the world, which is to say, just, the spirit of the world would be just the spirit by which the world operates, okay? Which is opposite, okay, to how the capital S spirit of God operates. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the capital S spirit who is from God. We have received the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in every genuine believer, okay? You remember John 1:12 says, yet to all who received him, Jesus, to those who believed in his name, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. When you received Jesus, right, which is to say when you humbled yourself and called out to Jesus and confessed your hopeless, helpless, desperate, sinful state, and from that place, knowing that you desperately needed a Savior, you called out and asked him, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart, to be the Lord of my life, to save me from my sin, to bring me to heaven when I die. Lord Jesus, I place all my faith and hope and trust and confidence in you alone to save me and to be my everlasting Lord and God. When you called out, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, Jesus came into your heart. Your heart is the center of your being. When the Bible talks about your heart, it's talking about your spirit, the deepest core of your being. A few days back, Stephen and I were talking about that we are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. We have a three-part God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You getting it now? You feeling that tingling, right? And when the spirit of Jesus, when you called on Jesus to come into your heart, he came in by his spirit, by the Holy Spirit, again, joined himself to your spirit, and you became alive in Christ. When the spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, became one with your spirit, you're now one with Jesus. You're called the body of Christ or the bride of Christ, the Bible says, because you're married to Jesus in spirit. Husband and wife are married in the flesh. We are married to Jesus in spirit by the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. Why? That we may understand what God has freely given us. First, again, the free gift of salvation that comes in and through and only by faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us in living a perfect righteous life on our behalf, dying a torturous death on our behalf and being raised from the dead. And then it is the Holy Spirit as we mature in Jesus, as we become more spiritual, right? More led by the Holy Spirit, more spiritual. You seeing it? Which is a skill, by the way. Being led by the Holy Spirit is a skill. It's as I've prepared for this, I've been praying more and more and more for this. It's part of the privilege of my work here, is just this exciting aspect of more and more understanding the person of the Holy Spirit and being led by the Spirit. But the more spiritual we become, which is to say the more mature and being led by the Spirit, right? Paul says in verse 15 of this chapter, the spiritual man makes judgments about all things. He's talking about someone who spiritual as a mature believer that's led by the Spirit. If you turn over to chapter 3, verse 1, he's now going to rebuke them and say, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. They're not led by the Holy Spirit. They have received the revelation of who the Holy Spirit is. They have received the Holy Spirit into their hearts. They do have the revelation of the gift of salvation, and Paul assures them they've been saved, but they haven't gone beyond that. What we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us, what the Father has freely given us, and what Jesus the Son has given us. And after we're saved, we spend the rest of our lives, and if we will learn to be led by the Spirit of God, if I will learn, He will reveal deeper and deeper and deeper and more profound, incredible riches of understanding and revelation that will lead to just deeper relationship and deeper intimacy and just an immensely fulfilling life that we can never imagine in Jesus Christ our Lord. But that comes as we pursue Him, as we grow to walk with Him, as we grow to obey Him, as we just grow to repent of foolish pride and arrogance of thinking we know something. I mean, it's so, so, so important. Golly. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us. Verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. Okay, verse 13, this is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom. Okay, so again, The more we grow in Christ, the more we're led by the Spirit. Paul is saying this is what we speak. It's our job, those who have grown and matured and who are being led by the Spirit, know how to be led by the Spirit, to teach those who are not. We disciple others by leading them in the Holy Spirit. Again, we have to use discernment because different people are in different places and they cannot receive it. Steve and I were talking about that this morning. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, okay? Again, it's very hard. Again, even for the vast majority of Christians, their mind is so caught up in human wisdom. When you try to speak to them about deeper spiritual things, they can't bear it. They can't handle it. Indeed, they can't understand it. They'll be frustrated with you for it. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, okay? So again, it's the Holy Spirit that's leading all of this, y'all. So again, what is our duty? We want to grow in our relationship with the Holy Spirit. Not only our duty, but our opportunity is to grow in relationship with the Spirit of God. As we grow to be led by the Spirit of God, okay, we'll grow in deeper and deeper intimacy with Him and with Jesus, and with our Heavenly Father, the Spirit expressing spiritual truths in spiritual words. And again, it's very difficult to understand because it's being led by our spirit, and we are creatures that are soulish. Everything generally is led by our mind, our will, and our emotions. So being led by the Spirit, who's communicating with our spirit, and having that seep more and more and more into our soul is the greatest privilege of our lives. And again, it's not just a responsibility. It's one of the incredible privileges we have, maybe the greatest privilege we have as sons of our Heavenly Father, and just as ones being saved by Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Again, we want to pursue intimacy with our Heavenly Father and grow to know Him. And that's only going to happen, again, as we learn to be led by the Holy Spirit. So, again, this is just profound. So much more can be said of this. But begin to reach out to the Holy Spirit. Begin to pray directly to the Holy Spirit. Begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you in this process more and more and more, to truly know Him and to be led by Him. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for this incredible teaching, Father. We thank you for the teaching given us by your word that's been revealed in your word, written down by your servant, the Apostle Paul, Lord. Holy Spirit, I ask you to open our eyes, give us eyes again that would see you and understand you, ears that hear, hearts that understand, that we may truly know you and be led by you more and more into the deep things of our Heavenly Father and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, we love you, we bless you, and we praise you. Lord Jesus, we honor you. We praise and worship you, one and all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.